She had gotten a request from the federal government to gather all of this data, all of this information. And what I'm talking about here is the type of information that you put in the form when you register to vote, which is your first, your last name, your address, your mailing address, your driver's license number, or a state ID if you don't have a driver's license, your partial social security number, you name it. All everything that you put in this form, if you register to vote in Texas, is essentially what the Secretary of State's office has access to.
Hey, y'all. This is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey guys, welcome back. Brand new episode of Y'allitics here. And we're talking about something that you mentioned a moment ago that a lot of people really just kind of missed during the holidays. Mm-hmm.
And this has to do with your information. And so, you know.
Your personal information.
A lot of it, yeah. Too. And, you know, maybe you were taking some time off during the holidays. Maybe you were traveling, not really keeping up. Maybe you've had enough of, like, political and election news, and you've sort of tuned all of that out. But Texas just handed over a trove of voter data to the federal government, and it is an unusual move. This is not something that we normally see, and this was at the federal government under the Trump administration's insistence that this be turned over. Not all states have done it, but Texas has complied.
Not all states at all, and if you missed it, you know, you can be forgiven for that because we were all doing different things during the holidays. I would like to point out, though, that Wheeler out of the gate came in with some Christmas clothes on today, which I'm proud that he wore. Haven't seen this one before. Mrs. Wheeler did a nice job picking out something new for you. It's like right out of the package, like perfectly new.
I can't help that it's pressed.
It's never been washed, has
pressed
it?
And ready. I don't know what qualifies it as Christmas clothing, but okay.
You've never I'll worn it before. It has to be.
Worn this before.
Is it not Christmas clothing?
Are you keeping up? Do you have like a calendar of my outfits?
You don't write them down? That's not something you wear, so it's obvious that a relative bought you that because it's not something you would pick out.
Actually, my wife did buy it.
I know she did.
Now that I think about it, she did.
Yeah, I can tell because I don't think you'd pick it out, but it does look nice. What are you drinking here today, man?
I am having an Oak Cliff something or another here, German style Helles Lager.
Yes, and it's from Oak Cliff. Mm-hmm. I have the Family Business Beer Company Golden Age German style Pilsner. This is from Dripping Springs. I'm not sure how this got into our Y'allitics refrigerator.
It's amazing how things just show up.
But I'm looking forward
it's
to it.
Kind of like shirts in my closet. It just shows up and you just don't know really where
Maybe
it came
Mrs.
from.
Mrs. Wheeler brought this one as well. I don't know.
So today we're talking about this whole issue of your information being sent to the federal government. We've got Natalia Contreras, a reporter with Vote Beat Texas, on with us today. Natalia, I don't know what you're drinking. Maybe coffee, water?
I'm drinking coffee with coconut milk because I'm trying to be on the healthier side for 2026. So,
you know what? I would trade this lager for that. That sounds amazing. So, you know, thanks for your reporting on this, because again, you know, it's like it fell in that really weird period, and who knows, maybe that was on purpose, you know, because this is controversial. The state turned over all of this data. We mentioned some of the reasons why people may not have kept up with this, but another one of those reasons, Natalia, and you know about this in reporting on this, it's not really a sexy issue when you start talking about voter rolls. You know, it might be one of those things that immediately triggers people to tune out, but this is important stuff.
Yeah, and you know, you were mentioning this happening over the holidays, but it's actually been brewing for some time. In August, I was at this large gathering of Texas election administrators. It happens once a year. The Texas Secretary of State's office puts on this huge training for election officials. They also fill them in on voting and election laws that are changing. They do trainings on, you know, election and voting processes, procedures, security, it's like a 3-day event. And I tend to attend every time because then I get FaceTime with election officials and I just kind of, you know, let them get to know me also, because I'm the one that's usually bugging them the most. But we were sitting at this training, and you know, the Secretary of State's office, the elections division, the director, her name is Christina Atkins, was going over changes and giving election officials updates. And then she said on stage, and of course, like, this is a public gathering of election officials. And she said that she had gotten a request from the federal government to gather all of this data, all of this information. And what I'm talking about here is the type of information that you put in the form when you register to vote, which is your first, your last name, your address, your mailing address, your driver's license number, or a state ID if you don't have a driver's license, your partial social security number, you name it. Everything that you put in this form if you register to vote in Texas is essentially what the Secretary of State's office has access to. And so this, yeah, go ahead, Steph.
Go ahead.
Saying, so at this event in August, she mentioned that the federal government had reached out to them. They wanted the entire voter registration list in Texas. And the reason that she wasn't turning that in right away was because at the time, the state was still going through this upgrade, revamp, overhaul of their own voter registration system. So the software that they use to maintain all of this data, you know, to keep track of whether people have been canceled or put on suspense, on, you know, all of this, all of that information is maintained in the system. And they were going through this upgrade of it, this overhaul of that system. And so the Secretary of State's office told the federal government, we're not going to be able to give this to you right away. She did tell people in that room, we will be turning that over, and we're going to handle it as a public information request, which I thought was very interesting.
That's odd. Yeah, you can't get a lot of things in public information requests. But let me ask you this. What does the federal government, in this case, the Trump administration, want with voter data from Texas and across the country?
What they have said is that this is a way for them to be able to make sure that only eligible voters are on the rolls, which is also interesting for them to do, because that is a responsibility that's up to the states to do. Actually, not the states necessarily. Like, Governor Abbott and Secretary of State Jay Nelson do not have the ability, by law, do not have the ability to just sit at a computer and start deleting people from the rolls. They cannot do that. They don't. I often try to say that because I think people think that Governor Abbott or Jay Nelson are just sitting there and just like taking names off of that list. Yeah. And that's not possible. They do not have the authority or access to that. The county officials actually do. Voter registrars in the county where you live have that authority and have that responsibility to ensure that only eligible voters are in that list. And so that's why it's interesting that the federal government wants this, because now Texas has agreed, right, to give this information over to them. And based on memorandums of understanding that they have signed with other states, what they intend to do is to look through the list, look for any, you know, anything that doesn't look right or anybody that may not be eligible there, and send it back to the states for the states to take action. So my next step and my next reporting thread here in this issue is, are we going to hear back from the federal government? Are they going to tell Texas, remove these people from their roles? And what is Texas going to do, right? Like, what are those steps going to be?
That'll be something to see, obviously. But let's point out here, too, though, there have been no widespread claims of fraud in Texas, anywhere in the country, despite what might be seen out there in the social media sphere or in cable news and places like that. There just hasn't been any of this. But it does go back to the narrative the Trump administration wants to go after, and that is, you know, illegal immigration and also the voter rolls over the 2020 election, which he you know, alleges fraud, of which there hasn't been any to actually be.
Yeah, and another thing that we have also looked into is, you know, the federal government is saying that they want to get this data, compare it to the data that they have, right? Like the Department of Homeland Security, they have databases on people who are citizens or not citizens. But we've also reported on the fact that those databases aren't perfect either. I'm sure you guys remember whenever the Secretary of State's office announced last in October, right ahead of the election in November, that there were more than 2,000 people that were potential non-citizens on the roll. And I've been reporting on that. I'm still reporting on that. And there are citizens on that list, U.S. citizens on that list. So the federal government's data isn't completely 100% perfect. And so the fact that they are gathering all of this information is really unclear how all of this is going to work. And also it's really unclear what they want to do with it.
Yeah, I think that that's a concern for a lot of the states. The Department of Justice has actually sued 23 states and D.C. for saying that they don't want to share this information because a lot of them feel like this violates federal law for this to happen. They feel like it violates state laws in some cases. But Texas has agreed to just immediately do this, sending the data of 18.4 million registered voters. That's going to be the biggest haul that the Department of Justice brings in because California has also fought this. Texas, of course, the second most populous state. And a lot of those states that are fighting this, and this includes, you know, even you have some Republicans who are in power in some of these states, let's say in a Secretary of State's office, who are fighting this, say they just don't know what's going to happen with this information, and they're supposed to be safeguarding this information because it is personally identifiable, and it's critical information for all of us that we wouldn't want falling into the wrong.
Yeah, I've done, actually, ever since we broke that story, we have gotten so many emails from just average voters who are like, who allowed this? I didn't register to vote thinking that my information was just going to be shared in this way. And that is actually a really good question that I'm looking into. It's like, who allowed this? How is this allowed? How is this possible, right? Like all of this information that the state has and they could just share it. And also the concern from average everyday voters who are like, what are they doing with it? What are they doing with my information? I heard from a lawyer who's fighting some of that database checking of voter rolls that I was just mentioning from a while back, who raised a concern. He was like, how do we know this is actually about elections? How do we know that they're not trying to, I don't know, just have an entire list and of people and having their address, their information, their driver's license numbers? How do we know that they're not just like making a list of people they like, they don't like? You know, it's all of these theories that can come out of something like this happening.
Let me play devil's advocate here for a moment. We're talking about this data and what the federal government already has on me. I mean, is Texas really giving them things that they don't already know about me?
That is a very good question. I think it's just what the, you know, I think that we do think that the federal government already knows your driver's license number, but in fact, they don't. Also, if you think about it, and we have actually talked to some experts around this too, is that even the Social Security Administration office, their data isn't as accurate as you would think, that they have the information of everyday people who share first name, last name, dates of birth. You know, in the state of Texas, how many people that have my first name and last name and my date of birth is like, it's huge. It's a huge list. The same with...
Is it really? Are there a lot of Natalia Contreras?
There are. You would be surprised. You would be surprised. If you looked at a voter roll, when we're talking about this, you would be surprised at how many people not only share your first name and your last name, but your date of birth as well. And that's one thing that when I started reporting on elections and looking into voter rolls and issues with the voter roll, you would be surprised how these lists look. And how many people do request, you know, the publicly available data. And they're like, there's so many of these people that are registered. It's the same person. Why is this person registered twice or multiple times? And it's like, no, you would be surprised how many people in the Austin or in the Dallas area share this same information. Wow. And so,
you know, just getting at that whole idea, Natalia, about, you know, does the federal government already have this information? A judge in California who dismissed the suit against California that was, you know, put out there by the Department of Justice, they dismissed that lawsuit from the Department of Justice, and they said the centralization of this information by the federal government, they think would have a chilling effect on voter registration and would lead to decreasing voter turnout. So they specifically honed in on, okay, this information's out there. Maybe the federal government could get some of this in other ways, but it's the centralization, keeping all of that data in one place. And you start to go down the list of the what could go wrongs on this, and there's a lot of things that have been brought up. That, you know, if you have it centralized like this, this would be a huge target for hacking. Imagine everybody's information all in one spot. All you got to do is compromise that one database, and you've got the keys to everybody. Also, that a national voter database controlled by an executive branch could be perceived as favoring one party over the other. Do you just clean the rolls of the states that you want to clean? Also, that it could be used in investigations that have nothing to do with voting. And again, chilling voter registration. And then there's questions about what future administrations would do with this information. Could they expand this collection? Could they expand how it's used without ever checking in with Congress? Mm. A lot of concerns have been brought up.
Yeah, and like you were saying, right, the centralization of this, I think, is the key issue and why even the judge in California dismissed this, because the fundamental rule here, or the law here, is that, like I was saying earlier, states, jurisdictions, county voter registrars are the ones that have the authority to clean up the rolls, not the federal government, not Governor Abbott or Jay Nelson, even at that, right? It's our county officials that are in charge and responsible for this information. And so that's another thing here that, I mean, I'm not sure if the Secretary of State's office shared with counties, you know, whether they were doing this. They necessarily don't have to. But when you are also talking about centralizing this information, even at the state level, county election officials have raised concerns about centralizing our voter roll. Because in Texas right now, there are some counties that do their own voter list maintenance on their own, like, county-based system. And there are a lot of counties in Texas that use the state's voter registration system that I was mentioning earlier. And there is a lot of opposition from county voter registrars to just going to one centralized database just in Texas alone because of the problems you just mentioned. I mean, there could be hacking, there could be something wrong with the system, and come election day and you can't find anybody on the voter roll, you know? So counties having the ability to have access to that information, it's so important for them to be able to run elections at the local level, at the city level, at the county level. It's just very, very hyper local information that is needed for everybody. So yeah, that's what it made me think about when you said that.
Just to reiterate, though, I mean, there's no talk of changing elections from county levels. I mean, for people who may not realize, the counties are in charge of elections. All 254 counties in the state have an election registrar, and that's where all the voter data rests, as always.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. That's very important for people to remember, yes.
And then the other thing I'm curious about, too, I cannot imagine Texas handing over this information to President Obama, the deporter in chief, as he was known, when he was in office. Have you heard from any lawmakers about whether they agree with this or think it's a concern?
I haven't heard from lawmakers, but I have heard, you know, people, as soon as we published the story, I mean, candidates, right, for Senate had started raising concerns for this. I mean, there's an election that's coming up. I think people are very interested in this, but I haven't heard concerns from lawmakers directly just yet, but that doesn't mean it's not going to be a topic of conversation. It's already been, you know, talked about so much.
Sure.
So the federal government says that they want to use this data to, quote unquote, ensure accurate voter rolls. The question is, how do they do that? And why would they do that if states have been doing this all along? And those are just a couple of the questions. I mean, there are other questions, too, and you've been reporting on this. How talkative has the state been about this memo of understanding that they've signed with the government to turn this information over? Do we know, like, what happens if the DOJ sends that list back to Texas and says, we flagged 2 million that you need to take off of there? Is there, like, an arbitration process, or do they just, you know, start getting the Sharpie out and taking people off the list? Do we know a lot of this information, or are we still in the dark?
No, we're not in the dark, because they have, the federal government has those memorandums of understanding already with some states. Actually, they've sent some of those over to states that states didn't sign. And the states made, like Wisconsin, made that document public. And I'm assuming it's going to be very different. I've requested that from Texas. I haven't gotten it yet. But what the one that they sent to Wisconsin said is that, you know, the state was supposed to send over the data within a few weeks. Whenever they're done, you know, going over it, then the federal government would send back those results, right? So what they're going to do is look through this data, check and see if there's any anomalies or anything that they find that's not right. Anybody that's on the list, according to what they see, that shouldn't be on the list, they'll send that information back to the state. And the state then has 45 days to take action.
And then when we know about that, will people know about that? If they take me off the voter roll, do they send me mail about that? Do they text me? Like, how will
that
we
is
know?
The one thing that I was mentioning earlier, that would be interesting to see. As soon as the federal government sends something to Texas about the list, what is Texas going to do about it? I am expecting it, because by law, it's required that if you're going to be removed, that they send you a notice that you get in the mail. Unfortunately, they're not going to call you. They're not going to email you. You're going to have to check your mail, which could be a whole other thing. I would expect them to send a notice, but we'll see about that. Yeah.
And Natalia, you said that they have 45 days, the state does. Is that something that's binding on Texas to act if the feds give some information?
According to the agreement, yes. I mean, they have that time to act. And so that's why I think just seeing specifically what that memorandum says, I wonder if it's any different for Texas. I don't think so. But Texas has to still follow its own state laws, right? And by state law, the Secretary of State's office has to reach out to each county, and then the county has to take action. It's not like the Secretary of State's office has any authority to do anything on their own, and they are supposed to notify voters. So that is what the next thread of reporting is going to be here, just what they're going to do, what they get back from the federal government, first of all, if anything, right? And if that's also going to be accurate, just how inaccurate it was the last time they did this with a potential non-citizen. So I'm expecting, unfortunately, if this happens, I am expecting for them to flag people who are 100% eligible and they think that they're not.
Natalia, we could see a real logjam come out of this, though, depending on, you know, if the Department of Justice sends this back to Texas and says, we need you to remove a bunch of people, because we've got that 90-day rule that you're not supposed to make changes to those voter rolls 90 days before an election. And it just so happens we're in a big election cycle this year. We're already within that 90 days for the March primary. Right after that, you would have the May runoff. So, you know, you wouldn't be able to do it before that either. You'd be looking at a small window between that May runoff and the November election, and that cuts off sometime in August. So the state, I guess we should really be watching, in that period between May and the beginning of August to see, you know, what, if anything, the state is doing to the
voter rolls. That's right. That would be the time frame that we would be looking into for anybody to be removed. You know, even if the counties cannot take action in this period that you're mentioning, they could still send notices to voters. They could still send letters to voters. That doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get removed or anything, but you know, what we saw this last time that they flagged people for being potential non-citizens, a lot of counties were concerned because they know that people don't respond to that. They know that people are not checking their mail. And so, you know, whenever people just don't respond, they could get removed. Of course, we're in this moratorium now that you mentioned, but I like I said, I would just be very interested to see what kind of response we get and what kind of action the state takes here, what the next move is going to be, what the next request from the federal government is going to be. Is going to be really interesting to see.
And to follow the thread there a moment ago, so if the feds tell the state, hey, listen, there are X number of voters in Texas that we think have some issue here, refresh my memory, does the Secretary of State, which is oversees elections in Texas, does the Secretary of State require counties to act on that, or is it up to counties to investigate each of these? I thought the end of this rested with each county election registrar.
That's right. So that's why I mean that it would be interesting to see whether the Secretary of State's office is going to just take action, or if it's going to do what, like you're mentioning, by law they're required to do, which is give that notice to the counties and then the counties to take action. It's up to each county voter registrar to take that action. But like I said, I'm not sure what the federal government is going to be requiring. If the federal government says take action on this, do they mean you, Secretary of State's office, take action? Which I do not even know how they would, because they have absolutely no authority under the law to do that.
But how could the SOS wipe away a voter record in Harris County or Dallas County or anywhere else? I mean, those records aren't held in Austin. They're held in each county, right?
They wouldn't be able to do that. They would not.
Okay. Wow.
Natalia, I know that this has raised some additional suspicions among some people that Texas it has turned over this information to a Republican-controlled federal government now.
Why would you be suspicious of that?
No. Some people have raised suspicions. Okay. I'm not saying I'm suspicious.
Come on, Wheeler.
Jeez.
Come on.
I'm just reporting that some people have raised additional suspicions about this, especially since, you know, several years back, Texas and some other red states, I mean, this is all in the name of, you know, voter roll integrity, but several years back, Texas and some other red states pulled out of ERIC, the Electronic Registration Information Center, which was this huge database that was shared between states where they checked the voter rolls of each other, and they actually found in quite a few instances here in Texas, like, wait a minute, this person appears to be a duplicate voter. They're, you know, registered somewhere else, or they've already moved out, but they're still, you know, registered here. And they were able to clean the rolls in that way until the state pulled out of that. And so again, you know, some people raise additional suspicions here and go, well, you know, if, you know, voter roll integrity is everything to you, then why'd you pull out of that? And why are we now doing
this? That's an excellent question. I am still wondering why we did that. If it was an effort to save money, which is what they kept saying at the time, you know, we were reporting on that. The state seems to be still, you know, spending a lot of resources on wanting to maintain the voter roll. But I mean, that was the number one tool that we had. Texas has signed memorandums of understanding with at least 9 other states, including Ohio. Ohio has created this tool that is supposed to be similar to ERIC. It's called Alexa. And what it is just basically agreements with other states to share their data. But it's not like ERIC, because ERIC was able to compare data across multiple states, right? What Ohio is doing with this and sharing information with Texas is that Texas can share that with Ohio and vice versa, but Texas cannot see cannot see data with other states unless they have an agreement. And so it's just kind of like redoing what Eric was already doing. And so I'm just, the issue, the number one concern with Eric at the time, and what is the real reason that this stopped, right? That Texas moved away from this, is that we were spending so much money on sending, just little postcards in the mail for people who were not yet registered, but that were eligible to be registered to vote. We were sending them reminders. Hey, you're not registered yet. Here's how you can register to vote in Texas. That was the number one reason why we left that program, voter outreach.
It was also that right-wing blogger, journalist, whatever, that did an expose on Eric. Wasn't that the reason that started all this, that created the suspicion among Republican states like Texas? Even Republicans were telling us, hey, it worked fine. It worked well.
Absolutely.
Here until
it
this
was part of that. It was
came
part
out.
Of that. But the number one issue that Republican lawmakers had with Eric was this voter registration outreach part of it. That was it was necessary. If you wanted to be a member of Eric, you needed to spend the money on this type of voter outreach, which in Texas we do not like to do. We don't spend any money on voter registration outreach, right, or education or voter education in general. That was a huge part of that. It was that $1 million that we were spending every time for this type of outreach. I mean, it is expensive. We also don't have online voter registration, which also adds to this, right? Like, we probably wouldn't have to be spending so much money on paper and postage to begin with if we had an easier way for people to register to vote in our state. But here we are. And yes, I mean, we're here now dealing with all of this. Here we are cross-sharing data again with multiple states. We were already doing that. The main issue was just we didn't want to spend that type of money. And like you said, yeah, I think what started everything was the conspiracy theories about it. And I think that added fuel and kind of added to people actually wanted to leave the program. But the number one issue at the core of this is just voter outreach and getting more people registered to vote.
Natalia, I'll close with this. We've had many elections here in Texas. Thankfully, each one, they come out afterwards and we learned that it was a clean election. Everything looks good. It all looked secure. I think everybody is hoping for that. Everybody wants that. And we'll see what this new wrinkle adds, sending this voter ID information off to the federal government and seeing what comes back from them. And we'll see if maybe good things come out of that, or if bad things come out of that, or if we get more confusion out of that. But I would just ask this, what do I do as a voter? And I think that's what it all boils down to. Like, do I need to be more vigilant this year? Do I need to, I have my little voter registration card. It says when it's good till. Do I still need to be checking on top of that to make sure, that I'm still on the list, that I'm still good to go? And not just counting on perhaps some correspondence to arrive.
Absolutely. There are ways that you can check if you are registered. If you're registered to vote and you vote every election or as often as you can, I would highly recommend checking that your voter registration status is good to go. And do it now. Don't wait until, the last minute or the deadline to register to vote, which is coming up February 2nd. Definitely check that. You can go online and check that status. But if nothing's coming up, because I've also heard of glitches with this state voter registration system right now, people are not coming up, call your voter registrar, call the county elections department, ask them how you can figure out if you are registered. Don't just stop at that website and freak out, that somebody removed you. It's usually a glitch, but definitely call if that's not good enough. And mail in your voter registration application now. Do not wait until the last minute. There are policies that are changing also with the USPS Postal Service about postmarking rules and all of that. So until we get online voter registration in the state, people have to seriously just take the time and just make sure that you know when the deadlines are, you know what you need to know before you head to the polls. Definitely just stay informed as much as possible. We've got to take action in the state of Texas. We're not going to get educational commercials or, you know, anything like that. Like, we've got to do that until things get better.
Yeah. And you mentioned doing that before the primary. Maybe you do that again before the runoffs in
That's
May,
right.
and again before you get to the November general, just because there's so many moving parts this time around that we haven't seen before. We haven't seen data like this exported to the federal government. And, you know, again, those roles could be in flux in some cases. You just want to make absolutely sure this year that you weren't erroneously
That's
removed.
Right.
And Natalia was talking about, you know, how to check to find out if you are registered to vote. You can do that. Most of the counties across the state, you can do that online. Just search up your county and then election registrar or, you know, county voting office, and you can find that. Enter your information and find out if you are still registered to vote. Good advice there, Natalia, and great work as always. Natalia Contreras, she's a reporter for votebeat.org. You can find her work there at votebeat.org. You're also, your bylines in the Texas Tribune a lot. We've had it at WFAA.com. You're kicking butt out there.
Thank you so much, and stay tuned. We'll have more reporting on this, absolutely. So thank you so much for having me.
We'll be watching for that, Natalia. Thank you so much.